Well, good morning. Whoa, this is loud. All right, you can hear me? Everybody can hear? All right. The one mic at Calmer works really well. The one at St. Paul's does not. So I'm glad that this one does. I am going to share the scripture with you, but just a couple of quick things. I just want to say thank you for welcoming me here. I'm delighted to be here. And I will share a few stories about maybe Reverend Dr. Robert Allen Hill someplace during my sermon. I used to tease him that everything I did right at Asbury First and beyond was due to Reverend Susan Schaefer, who was my official mentor, and everything I did wrong I blamed on him. He was a good sport about that, but actually he taught me a lot too, but he never takes credit for it. So today we have a parable from the 13th chapter of Matthew, and there are several parables within this chapter, but this one is one that you may have heard before. You may have heard it as the parable of the sower, you may have heard it as the parable of the four soils, or you may have heard it as the parable of the bountiful harvest. And if I speak too quickly, I apologize. Sometimes I get really energized, and then I go pretty fast, and that's also from part of my life when I lived down in Long Island when I was little. My parents always had my sister and I slow our speech down because we were, you know, just speaking too quickly. But hear these words from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Jesus said, "Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. Now the seed that was on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on the good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. May God bless the reading of this holy word this day. We thanks be to God. May we pray. Most gracious God, you indeed are the sower, the ultimate sower. So we ask that you sow the seeds today and plant the message within our hearts. And may your humble servant here deliver what you would ask in this way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I like the idea that I can walk. St. Paul's has a nice big flat area, so I can walk right from the pulpit right across and back and forth. Calmer has a little bit smaller space, so I can't always walk as much. I never used to do that, though. I'm going to tell you a little bit about me so you know who I am, and I'm trying to weave it in a little bit with the sermon as well, with the passage. But my very first sermon, and Alicia's heard this, I had to follow a gentleman who was a powerful preacher, powerful. And I had told him, I said, please leave a little bit of the Lord for me. And so he got up to the pulpit in seminary in our chapel, and he preached like crazy. And I'm scared to death because I've never preached before. And not only did I have to preach in front of my colleagues, but two seminary professors who are wonderful, but, you know, they know a lot more than I do. And I was a little bit nervous. I was a lot nervous. And so when he got all done, we're all clapping and praising him. And I got up to him just before I was ready to go up. And I said to him, I thought you were going to save a little bit of the Lord for me. And he said to me, don't worry, there's plenty of the Lord to go around. And that's one of the things I think about with the seed, because God is the sower seeds, you know, sows the seeds all over the place and has an abundance of them. God never stops sowing the seeds. So when I got up to that pulpit, the good news was it blocked, you know, most of my body, and it had these great areas to hold on to. And I hung on to dear life. I didn't have to lean over like this, but I hung on, and any time I let go, I saw my hands like this. I'm like, okay. So I just took control and power. I'm like, okay, I'm going to hang on. The good thing was is nobody saw how much my knees were shaking. So especially in the beginning, I always clung on to the pulpit. And then there was a minister who died just about a year and a half ago, and he challenged me to walk away from the pulpit and preach in front of everybody. So I took that challenge, and so now I might start at the pulpit, I walk away, may come back if I have to read something, but now I'm a roamer, so I walk a lot, just FYI. So let's talk a little bit about this parable, the parable of the sower, the parable of the four soils, or the bountiful harvest. When I used to hear this story when I was little, I just always hoped that I was part of that good, fertile soil. And I almost brought a plant today that had died. I almost brought that. And I thought, well, no, okay. So, and a lot of people, when they hear this parable of the four soils, you have the dry, hard path, right? You have the rocky soil. You have the soil with the thorns. And then you have this nice, good, fertile soil. And a lot of times people think, well, that just represents four different types of people. But there is an author by the name of J. Ellsworth Callis who wrote a book called Parables from the Backside. So he takes a different look at things. And I liked what he said. He said, sometimes it doesn't really represent four different people, but rather it represents different seasons in our own lives. And I said, oh, that fits me. And because I am not always that nice, good, fertile soil, I wish I was, but I'm not. There was a time when I was growing up, I was probably maybe a little bit of the rocky soil and some good, fertile soil, because I was still learning about God, and I wasn't quite sure where all this was going. And as I said, I first started growing up in Long Island. And then we moved up to the Adirondacks. I'm kind of an all-around New Yorker at this point, up near Lake George, the other side of the Adirondacks there. And I will tell you that I'm admitting this. This is probably not a good thing, but I also didn't grow up United Methodist, just so you know. And it's Bob Hill's fault that I did become a United Methodist, just FYI. But we were in a UCC church in Long Island. We went to a Presbyterian church up in the Adirondacks. And whenever it came time for the sermon, you know, 20-minute sermon, 25-minute sermon, I was tuning the pastor out, okay? So I was like that dry soil, not even letting the words sink in. Funny, God has a sense of humor, huh? Here I am. I hope none of you are tuning me out right now, but the one thing that was really, really good was youth fellowship. And we had great advisors, and that really got me going. And we'd go on retreats, and there were so many wonderful things about it that really helped me grow. So then when I went away to college, I actually would go to the ecumenical services at college, and I'd go to a weekly chapel, which was actually a Catholic service. But that college chaplain, the Catholic chaplain, was the one on campus all the time. So it was a nice little time to go. So there was some fertile soil going on then. There was also some rocky soil, too. And it was really at that time that people saw me going into ministry. The only problem was they never told me. Not till after I'd spent a few years in the paper industry. I'm an engineer by trade. And yes, I can tell you all about making paper and steam and condensate systems and stuff like that. But there was something going on. And I think that's one of the things we have to recognize when God is sowing the seed all over the place. Sometimes it takes time for the soil to change. And if you look out at the lawns any given day, if it's rains, they're nice and green. But what happens just after a few days with no rain? What happens to the grass? It starts to turn brown. It starts to die, right? You get a little bit more rain, and then it turns back and comes alive again. So I've been a couple of these different soils here. And then I worked in the paper industry. I moved around a little bit then, too, which made me great for the itinerant system in United Methodism. Little did I know. But I did live down in South Carolina for a couple of years. And I don't want to offend anybody, but that was when I was really a dry, hard path. Because I go to open up a checking account, and they say, what church do you go to? They don't even ask my name. They don't ask where I'm going to be living. The first question is what church do you go to? And that's okay once or twice, but every place you go was a small little town. And I was a single, young, single adult. And they said, well, we don't have anything for single people, but we have great things for couples. We'll find you a husband, and we'll get you married right away, and then you can join our church and be part of our couples group. I was like, okay. I kind of like to find my own husband if that's the case, but no, So I really became kind of a dry, hard path at that point. They really scared me from going to a church. But it doesn't mean that God wasn't doing something with me individually. And then I came back up north, and I knew something was happening, and I wasn't sure what it was going to be. And I met somebody. I actually prayed. Be careful when you pray, because God answers your prayers in ways you least expect. I prayed to God. I said, I really need to know what you want me to do. So I go to visit one of my customers in the paper industry, and I meet a gentleman who was visiting there at the time. And he had a gift. He said, you're supposed to be a teacher and a preacher, and I'm also supposed to be a cardiac surgeon. I said, yeah, the hospital thing's not going to go for me. I get a little queasy sometimes when I'm around, you know, stuff like that. But he gave me his card and he said, come talk to me. And he was teaching over at RIT because now I'm in Rochester. So I go and I talk to him, and he had told me, he said, yeah, you need to leave this company. You need to start moving. And so I wound up changing companies. I went from a really big company to a small company, family, you know, I thought this is great. And I started blooming, okay, I'm part of this fertile soil. And I became part of this little church group at a coffee house. Coffee house, how about that? We're talking about the road. And all of a sudden I got myself a new Bible. You know, I didn't have another Bible since the one I got when I was a little kid. And I bought one of those like life application study Bibles that gets you to think about things when you're reading the scripture. And so God was starting to till that soil in me, and I didn't even realize it. And so from there, I changed companies, thought everything was going to be good, but my friend said, you're not going to be there very long. And I said, why not? He said, well, God's got plans for you. And I thought it was perfectly fine if I could do my work, you know, but do God's stuff in my free time, in my spare time. So I had it as God's will, Carolyn's way. I thought that was perfectly fine. I thought this was a great agreement with God. You know, God, I'll give you all my spare time, but let me keep working in the paper industry. You know, it paid very well. I could go on these nice scuba diving vacations down in the Caribbean and all that stuff. Yeah, no, that didn't happen either. There's a story in the Bible about Jacob wrestling, you know. Well, after 9/11, after 9/11, I really knew I needed to leave the paper industry, and I thought I was going to go into counseling or something. And then my friend said, no, you're supposed to go to seminary, and I thought he was nuts. But I wrestled with God from Christmas time to the following year of Holy Week to Easter. And so I had a lot of thorns. I had a lot of things that had been choking me while I was in the paper industry. God was trying to rip those things out of me. And I was fighting tooth and nail. I was trying to hang on to everything I had, including my house, which I had to sell in order to keep going to seminary. Went into huge debt, but I was giving my life over to God. And finally, that Good Friday night of Holy Week, I caved. I cried uncle, and I said, God, your will, your way. And so whatever God wanted to do, and there's more to that story, but it's not the time to share it. But so all of a sudden, the next thing I know, I'm going to wind up in seminary. And these professors that I knew in college who I hadn't seen in years, I got to see everybody within a week's time, personally, all agreed to write me recommendations to apply to seminary. And they said, yes, we knew this about you all along. And I said, why didn't you tell me? And they said, you weren't ready. And that's probably true. So I wind up going to Colgate, Rochester, Crozier Divinity School. We just call it CRCDS. It's a lot easier. And I tried to stay open to this journey. All I knew was that God wanted me in seminary. I had no idea what I was going to do. I had no idea that I was going to wind up actually as a minister. I thought I'd go on and just get a doctorate, maybe teach or something. And so I needed to stay open to the process and let God continue to make that soil even more fertile. And little by little, God would show me what was going to happen. And my first year, I decided to take New Testament Greek. Okay? Lo and behold, who decided to teach that but Reverend Dr. Robert Allen Hill. And he was wonderful. I thoroughly enjoyed Greek. I struggled with Hebrew, but I thoroughly enjoyed the Greek. And at that time, I called him Dr. Hill. Now I call him Bob. But he was being very pastoral in the teaching, and he was also being very invitational because he invited us to come to worship to Asbury First. You know, just extending an invitation. And I was actually church shopping at the time. I was trying to find a church. And so I think I went there once or twice, kind of liked it, and loved the music. They have incredible music. I heard some great voices here singing this morning. But from there, I had to pray again to God because I thought maybe I'd work in a women's shelter or something to do my internship. We call it supervised ministry. But God said, no, you're going to be in a church. And I'm like, well, what church do you want me to be? What denomination? I had attended this big, huge fair and heard all these different pastors and people offering opportunities, and nothing really struck me. And there was nobody there from Asbury First at the time. And God led me in a dream to go talk to Dr. Hill. And so I talked with him, and I set up an appointment, met with him at Asbury First. After that, he invited me to a staff meeting, Holy Week again, and it was a very special, precious time. And I also then, after Easter, I met up with this Reverend Susan Schaefer. And spending an hour with her, I knew I didn't want to be anyplace else. It was just like, oh my gosh, could you feel the Spirit there, you know, where two or more gathered in my name? But there she was. So seminary and that time at Asbury First was a time of very rich, fertile soil for me. And I had these amazing sowers. I had Bob Hill, I had Susan Schaefer, Reverend Margie Mason, and a couple other ministers. They were really good sowers. They planted a lot of good seeds in me. Not all of them came to life right away, but it worked really well. And so from there, I went through commissioning and ordination, and that's another story because I could, you know, I don't want to keep you all day here. I'm sure you don't want to listen to me all day. But what I want you to realize is that we do go through different seasons in our life with how God's Word works in us and through us. And the other thing is we are part of that bountiful harvest, all of us. But also, we become sowers. We also are sowers of God's Word. Each and every one of you have a story. You heard, "Where was God this week?" All of us are sowers. We have a testimony. We have a story to share with somebody else. And it may or may not take effect right away. They may block you out completely. It may be on that rocky soil and it doesn't quite take root. Or maybe they have so many things going on in their life that they just can't get through it all and hear you and be right there in your presence. But you never know when God's going to put a little bit more water in that soil, maybe put a little fertilizer, and then all of a sudden it blossoms. So don't be discouraged. And be encouraged, because all of us have the gift of sowing God's Word. Amen.